In James E. McWilliams' new book, Just Food, he writes that in order to build a truly sustainable agricultural system, people in this country must start treating beef as a delicacy to be consumed as rarely as caviar. In the second part of our interview, originally conducted last week, we asked him about his statement that for the serious environmentalist, there is no rationalization for eating meat in 2009.
Well, livestock, it accounts for 20% of greenhouse gas production. And so it has a direct bearing on climate change. The meat production accounts for the vast majority of the water that we use in the American West. It 30% of the land in the United States is in one way or another dedicated to this wasteful system of production. And you know, I hear a lot of consumers who are upset, very very frustrated with the industrial food system, but are also frustrated because they don't really know what to do about it. And so, yeah, buying local is one response to that. But there's something that's much more powerful, and that is radically reducing meat consumption. I mean, to give up meat is to attack the industrial food system at every single level. And a recent study actually just showed that if the average American meat eater gave up meat once a week, just once a week, the energy savings would be equivalent to buying all of your food locally. And that's a really powerful statistic to me, because when I hear people saying, I really want to support the local food system, I really want to buy all my food locally because that's going to make me a good environmentalist. In fact, you can do something much more dramatically impactful, and that would be to radically reduce your meat consumption or give up meat. But that's a sacrifice. And, you know, I think that's one thing that maybe a lot of locavores aren't fully ready to embrace. But, you know, if we're going to be serious about this, then sacrifices, I think, are going to be in order, and that's one that I think we're going to have to make.
You write that we should make farm-raised fish be our main source of animal protein.
I mean, I felt an obligation to really doggedly pursue some alternatives to land-based meat production, and you know, seafood is really problematic just because ocean stocks are depleted. I think by 2050, if we go at the rate we're going, there's going to be very little ocean fish left for us to eat. And therefore, I started to look closely at freshwater aquaculture, and this I was really encouraged by what I found. It's a very, very small, comparatively small industry right now, but it is growing. And what encourages me about it is it is based on some very sound environmental principles. The inputs that go into a responsibly run fish farm are actually quite low. The land requirements obviously are extremely low. I think all the catfish produced in this country is produced on 170,000 acres of land. That's a drop. I mean, it's remarkably small. So I'm very encouraged by not exactly the way freshwater aquaculture works right now, but the potential for 10, 20, 30 years from now, for it to be a really clean way to produce a lot of protein for a growing population.
Again, we're talking to James E. McWilliams. His new book, Just Food, Where Locavores Get It Wrong and Now How We Can Truly Eat Responsibly, has just been published. Most controversially, I think, James, anyway, one of the more controversial parts of the book is when you write that we must remain open to the proven potential of genetically modified crops to achieve sustainable goals, such as boosting levels of production on less land. Can you elaborate on that?
The way genetically modified crops are employed right now, the way they're applied right now, is really quite dismal, and I understand why a lot of people oppose this technology, but I think what they're really opposing is the application of the technology. We have a handful of corporations that are growing essentially three crops, maybe four crops, and they're crops that have been modified for two traits and two traits only. And so we have a technology that's being used to further the absolute worst aspects of the industrial food system. We're growing monocultural corn, soy, and cotton. So I wonder how differently opponents of GM technology would feel if in fact there was genetically modified cassava root that was drought resistant, or that there was genetically modified rice that would help poor Southeast Asian farmers, and this rice was modified to be blight resistant, or what about genetically modified cowpeas to allow the peas to grow. It's an African crop to grow during hotter weather as global warming becomes a factor. And these are available in the laboratory, but they haven't been marketed yet because there's no money to be made for these corporations, A, and B, the organizations like nonprofit organizations or public-private partnerships that might take these crops that could serve both a humanitarian and an environmental purpose are really gun-shy about touching those crops because of the negative publicity that could result. So I think there's a real missed opportunity here with some of these genetically modified crops that are off the radar screen but can allow farmers to have a greater control of their local food supply under environmentally challenging conditions, droughts, floods, fungal diseases, et cetera.
Last question for you, James. Yesterday, Thomas Friedman, New York Times, wrote, I'm going to quote from his column, just a couple of sentences here. He says, "We're trying to deal with a whole array of integrated problems, climate change, energy, biodiversity loss, poverty alleviation, and the need to grow enough food to feed the planet separately." He basically says that all these actors need to collaborate in a different way here. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I tend to like Tom Friedman's approach to environmental problems because he really shies away from a silver bullet solution and entertains a kind of portfolio approach. And it's exactly what I try to do in Just Food is to say, look, we've got a problem. We've got a serious problem. We're going to have to produce food sustainably for more people. This is a real conundrum. How's it going to happen? And eating local is a very small part of it. I certainly don't reject it. It's one part of it, but then I try to bring in a wide variety of other approaches too to create this portfolio. So there's no single answer to this question. I can't come up with a bumper sticker saying how this is going to work, but it will involve an integrated portfolio of solutions. And I think what I'm proposing is a model that I hope is realistically achievable.